Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I recently read a book. Some of you know about it. I talked a little bit about it in Bible study. It was called Heaven is Beautiful. It's about a mountain climber, a man who later became a pastor. And it's a book, I would call it, I guess, an apologetic of sorts. It's an attempt to prove heaven by his experience. He had a near-death experience, you might say. He was climbing on a mountain and coming down. They didn't have the right equipment. They did something wrong, and they were stuck in the mountain. They practically froze to death that night. And he thinks he froze to death for a certain amount of time, 5 minutes or so, and then came back to be. And he describes that experience and how it changed him and all of that. Now, I don't know if I recommend the book, because later on it really gets into mysticism and so forth. And in fact, you also find in the Bible, you don't really find stories of people going to death and coming back except for one, do you? Not any other people except for the one who is resurrected from the dead, the Lord Jesus. That's the first fruits, the firstborn of all the dead. But it is an apologetic of sorts. I mean, it tries to prove that heaven is real, and even perhaps proving that hell is real. But you don't really need a book like Heaven is Beautiful to prove that, do you? It may be interesting, fun to speculate, think about, but really all you need really is the scripture that we heard today, didn't you? From Luke chapter 16, where we heard that heaven is real and hell is real. Both things that Jesus taught in his gospels, things that we sometimes take for granted and go, well, does the Bible really teach that? Well, even some of the church say, oh, heaven isn't real. It is. And you hear Jesus speaking about it, talking about it in the text, Luke chapter 16. Well, some say, well, that's just a parable. Well, guess what? It doesn't say that this is a parable. In fact, Lazarus could have been a real person. The rich man who died could have been a real person. It doesn't call it a parable. Often people say the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Not mentioned as a parable. So we listen carefully to the text and realize these are true things. The poor man goes to heaven. The rich man goes to hell. Why? Well, we heard about that in the children's message, right? Yeah? We might say it this way, kind of a more mature way, because the poor man was justified by faith in Christ Jesus, in the merciful one of God. Even though he may not have known Jesus, he was justified by faith in God's merciful love for sinners. For poor people on earth, we have nothing to point to as a reason to say that God blesses them and loves them, but that God is going to be merciful to them by grace and grace alone. That's how that poor man is justified. And the rich man goes to hell, not justified. He loved riches, and riches, as we know from the scriptures, tend to push out love of God and push out love also for whom? For others, especially those who have needs. If we're so preoccupied with our riches, then those who have needs, we don't seem to care about. That's the human condition. The more we have, sometimes the more we don't help others. And that's a warning to us in the Bible. The Pharisees were like that. That's why Jesus taught this story, this real thing, perhaps, to them. So they can listen and hear and say, look out, beware, as Jesus says, of the love of money, the love of riches. And there's a lot of comparisons in this text that are, I think, really worthy for us to think about. Comparisons of reversals, you might say. So the rich man, he's clothed in purple and fine linen, and yet the poor man, he's covered with sores. The rich man feasted sumptuously every day, and the poor man, he longed for some scraps that would fall from the rich man's table, famished. Both died and are buried. Well, not really. One, it says, the rich man was died and was buried, and in Hades, it goes on to say, versus what it describes about the poor man, he died and not was buried, but was carried by the angels to the side of Abraham. So one is died and buried, the other is dies and is carried. Interesting contrast. One is nameless. You don't know the rich man's name, do you? But you do know the poor man's name, Lazarus. One is in anguish in the afterlife. one is comforted in paradise. Comparison of reversals. And though it doesn't talk about the reason why one is in heaven and one is in hell, we know from all of the Scripture, and we say it again, because the poor man was justified by grace through faith and the mercy of God. Justified by faith. He believed in God's mercy. Versus the rich man who loved his riches more than he loved God and loved his neighbor. And then we get this great conversation in the afterlife. We don't hear too many conversations in the afterlife, except here. Here's a really good one. And it's a conversation between the rich man, who's in Hades, in anguish, and good old Father Abraham. And if that doesn't prove right there that there are life and personality and recognizable people in the afterlife, this does. They recognize. That's Father Abraham. And the rich man's in Hades in torment. And we hear about three basic things here that are meaningful to us. One, the rich man, he begs for mercy for himself, first of all, doesn't he? That's the first thing. Maybe it also shows that he doesn't talk about his brothers first. He talks about himself first, doesn't he? He says, hey, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to come over. He used to lay down on my gate. Send him over just to dip his finger in some water and put it on my tongue, for I'm in anguish here. He's praying for himself. He's begging for himself in Hades. It's his first concern is numero uno, himself. And hell is like that. You're always concerned about number one, aren't you? That's the nature of hell. Hell on earth is you're always consumed and concerned about yourself and not anybody else. Well, hell in the afterlife, same thing. He's begging for mercy for himself. But this fails. In the afterlife, it's too late, isn't it? There's a great reversal. And Father Abraham explains, well, you remember, and you can remember, I guess, things in the afterlife. You remember what happens in real life. You remember how you, in this life and here below, you received good things, and the poor man, bad things? Well, now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, he says, as if, well, that's one thing. It's kind of the theological reason is the good and the bad. And doesn't mention faith, but we know that from the whole Scriptures, right? But it also mentions another reality, a chasm that's been fixed and no one can cross over. Once you're there, kind of talked about the finality of the afterlife. What happens here determines it. You don't have to go into purgatory and wait to find out if you're going to be in heaven or hell. That all happens down here on earth, doesn't it? And there's a great chasm that's been fixed. You can't cross over anymore. If there was a purgatory, there'd be some crossing over. But it says it perfectly clear here, there's no crossing over. A great chasm. You can't go across it. Those who are in paradise and those who are in the anguish in Hades. So he has to change his tactic. He still has a chance to talk to Abraham. So he cries out and says, wait, Father Abraham. Please, send someone to tell my brothers. I got five brothers. Tell them, and they will repent. And what does Father Abraham say? He points to something very important for us all. He says, well, they have what? Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Why? Because Moses and the prophets have been talking about good and bad, talking about faith, talking about the afterlife, talking about the resurrection, talking about hell, talking about heaven. You can know all these things. Just read and believe Moses and the prophets. You have the word. Listen to the word. And rich man says, no. But if someone goes to them from the dead, then they'll repent. And Father Abraham says, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, then they're not going to believe if someone comes to them from the dead, rises from the dead. Kind of prophetic for our day, right? We have someone who has risen from the dead. And he appeared to more than 500. And his word's been going out for 2,000 years. And does everybody believe? Absolutely not. We still have Moses and the prophets. They could learn it all there, couldn't they? Shows the importance of God's word. Finally, I guess it gives us a little witness to the resurrection too, because they're talking about the resurrection as if that were a possibility in hell. Send someone from the dead. Send Lazarus back. Send him back. Well, it's too late. He's being comforted here in paradise. You don't come back from this kind of reality. But there is one who is God who does come back. And he came back for us to show us and to prove to us not through a book about a mountain climber, but through his own death and resurrection, that all these things, heaven and hell, life, faith, all these things are real, and they are to be believed. But the Spirit of God must work. If someone doesn't want to listen to the Word, and they push out the Spirit of God, then even if someone rises from the dead in front of their face, they'll not believe. But if their hearts are open through repentance, by the Spirit working on them, and their hearts are open to these things, then they believe. And then they believe because not because of just what they see in front of themselves, the evidence in the world, but they see it by hearing through the Spirit what was written in Moses and the prophets. That God is who He is. And that heaven and hell are real, and that we should be concerned about our eternal destiny, that this time is short, 100 years. This is eternity we're talking about, people. Eternity. A witness to all these things. So today's text really teaches us the most important things in life. Repent before it's too late. Certainly a teaching we get from learning this text. Repent before it's too late. Love of God and love of others, we learn in this text, don't we? If you love God, then you also ought to love others. They go hand in hand. Who can say that they love God and yet turn their eyes away from their neighbor in need? Shame. The Word, Moses and the prophets, sufficient. God's Word is sufficient to cause faith that takes us into the afterlife. Read, study, take to heart God's Word. And finally, the resurrection. It mentions the resurrection in here. Jesus taught about the resurrection before it happened. And then we have the Word of the resurrection too. May our hearts cling to these truths that are spoken to us in God's Word so that we believe and hold fast to the hope that is ours through Jesus Christ, the risen one. Amen.